Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here we are at the home of Roshan and Sakshi Magnani on March the 5th, and we are continuing our Krishna book reading of Chapter 90, Summary Description of Lord Krishna's Pastimes. Do you know where we are?
It's still opening.
Huh?
It's still opening.
Should I wait?
You can start.
Srila Shukadeva Goswami has concluded the 90th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by pointing out five particular excellences of Lord Krishna. The first excellence is that before Lord Krishna's appearance in the Yadu family, the river Ganges was known as the purest of all things. Even impure things could be purified simply by touching the water of the Ganges. This super excellent power of the Ganges water was due to its having emanated from the toe of Lord Vishnu. But when Lord Krishna, the Supreme Vishnu, appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty, he traveled personally throughout the kingdom of the Yadus, and by his intimate association with the Yadu dynasty, the whole family not only became very famous, but also became more effective in purifying others than the water of the Ganges. And now I have a question for Sakshi. The Ganges accepts all the sinful reactions of the people who bathe there. Now, after some time, because of accepting all the sinful reactions, the Ganges becomes overwhelmed. So what relieves the Ganges of the accumulated strength of all the sinful reactions people leave there? Do you know? Okay. The answer is that when great pure devotees take their bath, she gets relieved. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's explained in the 9th canto, where it describes how Ganges came here from heaven because of King Bhagirath. You've heard of King Bhagirath? Yes, you know. And Ganges had three questions to Bhagirath before she would come. So someone had to break her force because she was going to come down and she could split the earth. So Bhagirath said, no, no, Lord Shiva will break the fall on his head. And then one of the other questions was, what's going to happen to me, Ganges said. After some time, I'll be too much overwhelmed. And he said, when great pure devotees come, they will neutralize. I can't remember. Okay. The next excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance. So you got the place? Okay. It's towards the end.
What paragraph? How did you start the paragraph? The line?
Has concluded the 90th chapter. Shukadeva Goswami has concluded the 90th chapter. So it's the last section.
It's quite last? You finished 3/4 of the chapter?
Yeah, something like that. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Raksha.
Yes.
Got it.
Mm.
Good. So now we're on the next paragraph after that.
The next excellence.
The next excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance was that although he apparently gave protection to the devotees and annihilated the demons, both the devotees and the demons achieved the same result. Lord Krishna is the bestower of five kinds of liberation. Do you know?
I was just going to ask this question. I have it noted also.
Okay, so the five kinds. Salokya, living on the same planet. Sarupya, having the same form.
Kamsa got that, right?
Yes. Yes. Very good. Then there's Samipya, to have nice equal friendship. Sarshti, to have equal opulence. And the last one is Sayuja, or sometimes known as Ekatvam, merging. There are two kinds of merging. Merging in the effulgence or merging within the body.
A question.
Yes.
Why do demons and devotees get the same kind of liberation?
Okay. Because, well, that's going to be explained.
Okay. So we
read that. Yeah, we'll read. Then if it doesn't answer, I'll answer.
Okay.
Both the devotees and demons achieve the same result. Lord Krishna is the bestower of five kinds of liberation, of which Sayujya Mukti, or the liberation of becoming one with the Supreme, was given to demons like Kamsa, whereas the gopis were given the chance to associate with him personally. So, this is interesting. Here it says that Kamsa merged. But when you read that said
killing of Kamsa,
it said that he got the same form.
Sorry, because so, he was always thinking.
Right. Therefore, I would conclude that first he got Sayuja, then he got Sarupya.
Okay.
Because I don't believe that Prabhupada could contradict himself. Same way as Shishupal. Shishupal first merged into the body of Krishna, but we know that Shishupal was reinstated as Jai Vijay in the spiritual, because that was the third birth. Does it make sense? You follow what I'm saying?
No.
You haven't read that story.
No, Shishupal.
Later on, Krishna kills Shishupal, and everybody sees Shishupal, the spirit soul, enters Krishna's body. But, so it seems, okay, he merged into Krishna's body. But, we know from the Bhagavatam, from so many other things, Shishupal was originally Jai Vijay, the two gatekeepers in the kingdom of heaven. First he was Hiranyakashipu, then he was Ravan, then he was Shishupal for three births. He was cursed. Then he was reinstated in Vaikuntha. So even though he merged, we know he eventually, yes. So even though it says here that Kamsa merged, we read in the other chapter, he actually went to Vaikuntha. So, the point that's being made here, when it says they achieved the same result, it means they got liberation. But as he pointed out, there are five kinds of liberation. Mostly the demons, when they're killed by God, they get this kind of liberation, merging.
Yes, so when Lord Krishna kills the demon in the form of bird, what is the name?
Bakasura.
The long
beak.
Also in the movie it shows that at minute the soul comes out and merges into Lord Krishna immediately.
Yes. Alright, let's continue, okay?
Yeah.
The liberation of becoming one with the Supreme was given to demons like Kamsa, whereas the gopis were given the chance to associate with him personally. The gopis kept their individuality to enjoy the company of Lord Krishna, but Kamsa was accepted into his impersonal Brahma Jyoti. In other words, both the demons and the gopis were spiritually liberated, But because the demons were enemies and the gopis were friends, the demons were killed and the gopis protected. The third excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance was that the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, and Chandra, remained always engaged in the service of the Lord, even though the Lord gave more preference to the gopis. Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, tried her best to be on an equal level with the gopis, but she was not successful. Nevertheless, she remained faithful to Krishna, although she generally does not remain in one place, even if worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma.
She doesn't remain?
Chanchala. Don't we see? Sometimes people are very wealthy and all of a sudden, and that's the context, right? Yes. Nobody can remain opulent unless, and Prabhupada used to say, therefore, this Lakshmi Puja is not correct. The puja should be Lakshmi Narayan. Then the wealth will remain steady. Because Lakshmi, that one of her names is Chanchala. Unsteady. But when you worship her with Narayan, now she remains fixed there. Right? Everybody on Diwali worships.
Yes.
Right.
We do Lakshmi.
Right. So now you know better to do
Lakshmi.
Yes. Or Radha Krishna.
So how do we do that? We have learned just to do Lakshmi Puja.
You're on a different platform now. All you have to do, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, serve your husband, take care of your children. That's all you have to do. All this other stuff is for people who are karmakand, who are too attached to their material life. You've gone beyond that now. You've transcended. You're a devotee now. A devotee depends on Krishna. A devotee now knows that even this karmakanda or anything, it's up to Krishna whether or not I'm going to be successful or not. The devotee just depends on Krishna. That's the meaning of being a devotee. That's why in ISKCON you don't see devotees doing all these pujas and this and that, because that's not what Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada have taught us. They have taught us just surrender to Krishna and everything will be taken care of. In order to get to that stage, you have to have faith. The reason why people don't become devotees and remain attached to all these pujas is because they don't have faith. And where do you get that faith? You have to meet another devotee who has that. For instance, I think for you and for others, that devotee Lalita, she inspired that faith, correct?
Yes.
Now she has gone, but from that initial faith, now you have other devotees. You have faith in me, yes?
Yes.
So you are progressing on the path of bhakti. And so you can still do all these pujas and which you are, I know you're doing anyway. Yes.
Yes, because the Lakshmi is said to be the goddess of fortune.
Yes.
Yes. So, especially on the day of Diwali, it's important to do her puja. And how she serves Lord Krishna. In the same way, on that particular day, we would like to please her so that she can pass our message to her.
Yes.
So it's only for that.
Yes, you can do these things, but in Krishna consciousness. So now I gave you a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Better to worship Lakshmi Narayan or Radha and Krishna.
Yes.
Then you'll be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
And always remember, in the age of Kali, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. You can do all the pujas in the book. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, it's not going to be successful. So you can do all the pujas. You can. It's fine. Just make sure you chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The fourth excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance concerns the glories of his name. It is stated in the Vedic literature that by chanting the different names of Lord Vishnu 1,000 times, one may be bestowed with the same benefits as by thrice chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. And by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna only once, one receives the same benefit. In other words, of all the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, including Vishnu and Ram, the holy name of Krishna is the most powerful. The Vedic literature, therefore, specifically stresses the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya introduced this chanting of the holy name of Krishna in this age, thus making liberation much more easily obtainable than in other ages. In other words, Lord Krishna is more excellent than his incarnations, although all of them are equally the Supreme Personality of God. Now, let's go back to this last sentence. What philosophy explains this last sentence that you just read? Look at it again. What is the name of the philosophy that explains that? You see, there's a contradiction, so to speak. Yes? So there's an explanation of a philosophy that explains that. You don't know what that is? I will now explain. Shankaracharya had his Mayavad philosophy. Ramanujacharya has his philosophy. It has a certain name. And Nimbarka, all the Acharyas. There are 4 Acharyas in the Vaishnava and 1 Mayavad Shankaracharya. So Lord Chaitanya has his Vad, his philosophy. Achintya Veda Abheda. That the absolute truth is one and different. So here's an example of something being the same and not the same. It said all of them are equally, but Krishna is more excellent. Huh? Materially, it doesn't make any sense. But that's why I'm sure you've heard me say many times, when you come to spiritual knowledge, you have to be able to accommodate an elephant on a dish. Or the story of the cobbler who Narada said Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle.
And the
Brahmins couldn't accept. But he believed. So that's the same idea. That you have to stop thinking materially. Yes, they're equal, but Krishna is more excellent. Just like in our last session, you may recall, Krishna is perfect in Mathura, more perfect in Dwaraka, and most perfect in Vrindavan. Correcto?
Yes.
Good. Let's go on. The fifth excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance is that he established what? That's good. So this is what you wanted, right?
Yes. Baby's listening.
Yes. The fifth excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance is that he established the most excellent of all religious principles by his one statement in the Bhagavad Gita, that simply by surrendering unto him, one can discharge all the principles of religious life. And last night, I told everybody, how do you surrender to Krishna easy?
What did I say?
Jai! Jai! Excellent. That is something I probably say almost in every lecture I give in the world. Surrendering to Krishna is the same as chanting Maha Mantra. Alright, let's go. In the Vedic literature, there are 20 kinds of religious principles mentioned, and each of them is described in different shastras. But Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen conditioned souls of this age that he personally appeared and asked everyone to give up all kinds of religious rites and simply surrender unto him. It is said that this age of Kali is 3/4 devoid of religious principles. Hardly 1/4 of the principles of religion are still observed in this age of Kali. But by the mercy of Lord Krishna, not only has this void of Kali Yuga been completely filled, but the religious process has been made so easy that simply by rendering transcendental loving service unto Lord Krishna, by chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can achieve the highest result of religion, namely, being transferred to the highest planet within the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Considering all this, one can immediately appreciate the benefit of Lord Krishna's appearance on the earth and understand that his giving relief to the people of the world by his appearance was not at all extraordinary. Now I have something to mention. Hardly 1/4 of the principles of religion are still observed. That refers to truthfulness. There are 4 pillars of religious life. Mercy. Mercy is gone because they're killing animals. Cleanliness is gone because of illicit sex. Austerity is gone because of intoxication. The only one that's wobbling is truthfulness, and that's destroyed by gambling. And we see, I don't know about here, but in America, gambling is increasing. The government is also fostering gambling with lottery and opening more gambling. And we see in the law courts, the lawyers are actually liars. So as Kali Yuga goes on, there will be more and more lying. Politicians lie, even when they're caught red-handed, they somehow or other try to show. So that's what's happening in Kali Yuga. The other 3, finished. And so as Kali Yuga goes on, all of them will get worse and worse and worse and worse. Shall we finish up the chapter?
Yes.
It's only 11:30.
Yes.
Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus concludes his description of the super exalted position of Lord Krishna by glorifying him in the following way. O Lord Krishna, all glories unto you. You are present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Therefore, you are known as Jananivas, who lives in everyone's heart. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaha Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjun Tishtati. The Supreme Lord, in his Paramatma feature, lives within everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that Krishna has no separate existence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's another example of Achintya Bheda Abheda. He can be all-pervasive and singular. Good. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the all-pervading feature of Parabrahman. Okay, Parabrahman means, Brahman means spirit. So Parabrahman means the Supreme Spirit. But when Parabrahman, or the Supreme Lord, appears, they think that he appears under the control of material nature. Now, it's not mentioned here, but actually, the Mayavadis say, actually, Parabrahman is the same as Brahman, or there is no difference between so-called God and the living entity, that upon liberation, you become God. That this Brahman or Jiva and Paramatma, that's a misconception. Once you become elevated, once you become liberated, you'll see no distinction between Jiva and Paramatma. Let us continue. Because Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, the Mayavadi philosophers accept Krishna to be an ordinary living entity who takes birth within the material world. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami warns them, Devaki Janmavad, which means, although Krishna is famous as the son of Devaki, actually he is the super soul, all the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees, however, take this word, Devaki Janmavad, in a different way. The devotees understand that actually Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda. Wow! Although Krishna first appeared as the son of Devaki, he immediately transferred himself to the lap of Mother Yashoda, and his childhood pastimes were blissfully enjoyed by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This fact was admitted by Vasudev himself when he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda at Kurukshetra. That chapter's later on. You'll read that. He admitted that Krishna and Balaram were actually the sons of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Vasudev and Devaki were only their official father and mother. Their actual father and mother were Nanda and Yashoda. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami describes Lord Krishna as Devaki Janma Vad. Shukadeva Goswami then glorifies the Lord as one who is honored by the Yadu Vara Parishad, the assembly house of the Yadu dynasty, and as the killer of different kinds of demons. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have killed all the demons by employing his different material energies, but he wanted to kill them personally to give them salvation. There was no need of Krishna's coming to this material world to kill the demons. Simply by his willing, many hundreds and thousands of demons could have been killed without his personal endeavor. But actually, he descended for his pure devotion.